Morsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Morsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back about 10 minutes into hour two on this weekend preview brought to you by Twin Spires. And here's Jay Privman of the Daily Racing Form. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How's the weather?
It's sunny and bright and, it's zero. But it's a dry cold.
Dry cold, yes, exactly. Well, good. Well, go out and play volleyball in this sunny weather.
Yes, it's the kind of cold that crystallizes your lungs. Oh boy, I know. Well, we'll weather the weather. I'm looking forward. I leave Tuesday for Vegas, so that
there you go.
Yeah. Exactly. Jay, first order of business, before we talk three-year-olds, because they're three now, let's review what went on with last Saturday's announcement of the Eclipse finalists.
Yeah, well, they announced they call it finalists. I really wish they'd use a different word because it makes it sound like, well, here are the final horses that people are voting on, but it's actually the top three vote-getters in each.
There you go.
Division. So we know that these are the top three. It's not like there's a revote based on these nominations or something like that. But that's the nomenclature that the NTRA has chosen to use. I try and explain that in the story I write because I think there's a lot of confusion out there. I saw some reaction of, well, why wasn't so-and-so nominated? Well, so, Fred Hertrich, or for breeders, like, well, no, he's on the ballot. He just unfortunately didn't finish in the top three for getting votes. Obviously, I don't think there were any surprises, Steve, in terms of like, oh my God, somebody who could have won a division is not a finalist. There were a few, I thought, horses who might have been able to finish. You could make a strong case for finishing in the top three in their division, who ended up not finishing in the top three in their division. For me, the most glaring one was Search Results, who ran second in the Kentucky Oaks and subsequently won the Acorn. And the Kentucky Oaks winner, Malifat, is going to win that division. I thought she was a deserving top three finisher. It doesn't change the outcome in terms of who's winning that division, because obviously Malifat is. But I thought Search Results did enough to finish in the top three. And then the other thing that is just unfortunate is Nick's Go is going to be Horse of the Year. And Brad Cox has a strong chance to win Trainer of the Year. And Joel Rosario, who rode him, I think is going to win Jockey. He looks like it's finally his turn. Even there were previous years I thought he should have won when he didn't, but it seems like he's got strong support this time and is going to win it pretty handily. But, the breeder of Nick's Go didn't get any love, and that's Angie Moore, and the major farms finished in the top three in earnings, that being Godolphin, Stone Street, and Calumet. You can't knock anything that they did, but it'd be nice if people acknowledged that a small breeder produced the Horse of the Year. To me, that is deserving of being a finalist or finishing in the top three for that category.
And I always am sympathetic to this, Jay, and have tried a few times over the years to, you know, to get, you know, that scenario acknowledged. But it's very difficult. It just doesn't seem to register, you know?
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of people who look at the earnings tables and just vote 1, 2, 3. I mean, that's what happened for owner. That's what happened for trainer. And that's what happened for breeder. But, you know, I think you need to drill down a little more than that.
And we, in fact, this came up this week and yesterday with Sean Clancy. And one of the things, you know, Hertrick's a great example to bring up. And you know, the Watercress farm name, but he's got horses that he's alone on the breeder line. There's then, of course, his you know, very big commercial partner, John Fielding, and I voted over the last 5-6 years, I think at least twice, with Hertrick Fielding. But it makes it, you know, it just gets lost in the shuffle, and
in the shuffle if you're lazy.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
You know, I think it's just incumbent upon voters to be better. You know, it's a privilege to be able to vote in this, and you should take it seriously and do your homework.
Pure and simple.
It doesn't take
there
that much
go.
More effort to do your homework. No. You know, before sending this in, it really doesn't. So do it. Take the extra 10 minutes. Look through the table of Grade One winners and look. Oh, look. Fred Hertrich won. Oh, he bred that one too. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, you know, got 6 Grade One winners. Maybe that's worthy of finishing in the top 3. But you know, again, maybe Angie Moore or Gail Rice are deserving too for
right.
You know, small operations that produced major horses last year. You know, that's another aspect of this. But you know, instead the 1, 2, 3. Finishers for earnings, and again, there's nothing wrong with those operations, but they've got a pretty good head start.
Agreed. Just a volume operation. I'm curious your thoughts. You referenced search results, and she was one of the three that I included for 3-year-old filly. Jay, touch on your thoughts regarding the very big showing of the imports, the Euro Invaders, Modern Games a finalist for 2-year-old male, Pizza Bianca a finalist, not that she's an invader, quote unquote, but turf, a turf reference, really. Santa Barbara appears twice amongst the top vote getters. You know, Space Blues and Yabir in kind of a difficult to separate male turf division. What's your overall history and philosophy on the turf portion of this and limited starts in North America?
Well, it depends first off on the age group. So let's start with the 2-year-olds. You know, Modern Games did win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, and most of the horses in that division have only had a handful of starts. To me, the only other horse you could have made a legitimate case for to finish in the top 3 would have been Papa Cap, because he didn't finish second to Corniche in both the American Pharoah and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And if you're voting for the best 3 in the division, I think you can make a legitimate argument that Papa Cap was one of the top 3. But I don't have a problem with somebody voting for Modern Games in the top 3. To me, Papa Cap was kind of the odd man out of the 4 obvious candidates for that spot, and when the music stopped, he was the one who didn't have a chair to sit in between Corniche, Jack Christopher, and Modern Games. You know, moving on to 2-year-old filly, I don't know who else you could have possibly voted for in the top 3 besides Echo Zulu, Juju's Map, and Pizza Bianca. I mean, they to me were the obvious horses to use. Now, when you move on to the older horses, to me it's a little trickier. I like to reward a North American-based campaign, if that horse is a standout. But I think what happened in the male turf division specifically is you didn't really have anybody who had a proper campaign of victories. You know, Smooth Like Straight probably had the most impressive year to, you know, yearly campaign when you compare him to, you know, Colonel Liam or domestic spending, who had abbreviated campaigns, but he only won one race. And it's, I think it's just hard for people to get over the hump and vote for a horse like that. So then you're looking at horses who came over and won Breeders' Cup races, like Space Blues or, you know, Yiber, who came over and, you know, won twice in this country. Once was in a restricted race for three-year-olds only. The other was the open race, the turf. I thought the field for the mile was much stronger than the field for the turf. And to me, Space Blues is a horse you can make a stronger case for. But somebody might say, well, he only came over here and ran one time. I'm going to lean towards somebody who ran here at least, you know, more than once. And I think that's, you know, I don't have a problem with that argument. I think in the specific case of male turf in 2021, you just didn't have anybody who stood out. You could make a case for a half a dozen horses, and it's just whatever you prefer there. So for me, it comes down to, is there a legitimate alternate horse that you can go for instead of just sort of the one-off? And it also, for me, and it depends on if the horses had a world-class kind of campaign before coming here. You know, Goldakova would be a good example of that.
Yes.
You know, she was a world-class horse who came over and continued right on with it. So those are things that enter into it for me. But it's there's no hard and fast rule, I don't think, for that.
Touch on the sprint category, Jay. Were you surprised that Flight Line shouldered his way into the list of three top vote-getters?
I would say I was pleasantly surprised he did. It showed that people waited till the end of the year, which they should, for the final grade ones to be run. This year they were all run on December 26th. And, you know, he was obviously a very impressive horse. An abbreviated campaign, but I dare say if you ran that race tomorrow, he would be the heavy favorite in that race. If you lined up him and the Aloha West and Jackie's Warrior and Dr. Scheibel, I think Flight Line would be heavily favored. And so I understand the sentiment for him, especially when Aloha West's only grade one win was the Breeders' Cup. And when, you know, Jackie's Warrior's only race against older horses was a poor effort in the Breeders' Cup. So there's ways to be unsatisfied with Aloha West and Jackie's Warrior, where somebody might circle back to Flight Line, especially the way he won that Malibu so impressively.
Interesting. I was a little surprised, and I struggled with making a decision. I think, and nobody would question, you know, how exciting he is and what a huge talent. It was kind of a late arrival on the scene from a stake standpoint. But
that's true. And you know, he only ran three times, he only ran in one stake, but he had as many grade one wins as Aloha West and Jackie's Warrior.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I get it. Well, Santa Anita in a few weeks, and they will hand out the hardware. Do you think there's any category where there's a question of who wins?
I'm trying to. Maybe 2-year-old male. There seems to be some. But we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Some insane backlash about Corniche,
right?
Because of Bob Baffert happening to be his trainer. But to me, that's, you know, an unfair way of going about this. If you don't want to vote for Baffert or Medina Spirit, I see that angle to someone's perspective, but you know, I don't get the Corniche backlash of I'm going to punish the owners for leaving the horse with Baffert. So, as we discussed on your show a couple of weeks ago, his first race wasn't until August, which was long after the Derby, when Baffert was under even more intense scrutiny, and the horse was subject to enhanced drug testing prior to the race, as were all Baffert horses, and all Breeders' Cup horses have out-of-competition testing. So, like I said on your show a couple weeks ago, he might have been tested more than any horse on the grounds leading up to the Breeders' Cup. I don't think Modern Games or Jack Christopher will usurp him, but I think that category is going to be closer than it should be. Other than that, I don't see any big upsets. I mean, it might be a toss-up, though, for female turf. I don't know which way people went between Love's Only You and Warlike Goddess. I think that's kind of a jump ball. I think male turf is a bit of a jump ball with Yiber, Space Blues, and Domestic Spending. So those are the couple that I think are, you wonder, like, which way it's going to fall, because they're probably going to be close results. But I don't know that there's anywhere I'm looking at it going like, wow, a really standout horse is going to not win because of some freaky occurrence at the Breeders' Cup or something like that. You know, like right. Boulder Dirt Female, for instance. I mean, Latruska is winning, obviously. She had a great campaign, and I think people rightly are giving her a mulligan for the Breeders' Cup.
You know, one that I thought might be very close when they announced was Geraldo and Pfeiffer of Among Apprentice, but it does seem, you know, using the smattering of ballots that have been shown out there, and I thought Sean Clancy said something very interesting yesterday, that Pfeiffer's ability to win races on the circuit in Southern California tipped it for him, and I think things are leaning her way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that it's leaning her way, and I agree with Sean's sentiments. I think who you ride against should matter.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's why I think, you know, Cardenas should have gotten a little more support in that category, you know, for riding on the Naira circuit, you know, before he got injured last summer.
Right, so. Right. Are you, I don't know if we've ever broached this. I know there's some, maybe you did touch on this last week, about the apprentice category overall.
I've talked about it ad nauseum over the years. I don't like it. I there's no rookie of the year for trainer. I don't think you should have a rookie of the year for apprentice. I don't think there should be a carve out for it. And, you know, while there are some jockeys who have won that award who have gone on and had great careers, the list, by and large, is not that impressive overall. I invite anybody to Google it later, and you'll see some names that you'll be like, whatever happened to on there? So I don't like it, but I'm in the minority, apparently, because it stays on the ballot every year for a long time.
Jay, we'll look forward to the hardware being handed out and the ceremony at Santa Anita. The 3-year-old Road to the Triple Crown gets started tomorrow with a very good LeCompte. It's been fun already this morning, and Marcus is going to join us in a couple of minutes. Your LeCompte thoughts going into tomorrow?
Well, Epicenter is certainly the horse to beat. His race in the Gun Runner was, I thought, ideal. He finished the race off well, and he looked like he wanted every bit of more distance going down the line. This is at the same distance as that race, a mile and a 16th, but he's got a win over the track. He proved himself going two turns in that race. He's got good tactical speed. He finished the race off. He wants to go farther. There's nothing to knock on him as far as I can tell, and he's the deserving favorite tomorrow. To me, Papa Cap's favorite on the morning line, but I can see Epicenter ending up shorter than him at post time. I thought Papa Cap's two races, we were talking about this earlier in our Eclipse Award discussion, but I thought his two races in the American Pharoah and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile were both very good efforts, and there's no reason why he's not going to like extra distance as well. But this is a means to an end. Epicenter's got the recency, and I think he'll have the slight edge, come tomorrow. But I think whatever Papa Cap does tomorrow, I think he'll build on that through the series, and I think it'll be great to see these two come back in the subsequent events that they'll be in. You know, hopefully they'll be. This is the first of three meetings between these two, you know, leading towards the Kentucky Derby. So, no knocks really on either of those, but I prefer Epicenter. A couple others in here. You know, Cyberknife is going to get tested for class. He's a horse that I know Cox really likes, and the connections, you know, Gold Square, the Hardoon family is very high on this horse, and I think I think he's going to be even better the deeper you get into the spring. He looks like he's kind of an unfinished product. They're going to try blinkers with him tomorrow. You know, for a long shot, you know, Call Me Midnight, I thought in the Kentucky Jockey Club he ran like a one-run, one-turn horse, even though he did run a good second in a maiden race at Keeneland, but I thought it was kind of a slow race, and I'm not sure that he's going to be suited by more distance as we head down the line with this group, and similar with Surfer Dude. He's bred to go long, but he's quick, and he just didn't stay the trip last time when Epicenter beat him. He's had a couple of tries going two turns, and he just doesn't seem like he wants this right now. You know, I understand trying, but just based on performance last time, I thought he was decidedly inferior to Epicenter, and I don't see that changing tomorrow.
It's a fun group, and looking forward. And I like when you know, the feature. I mean, I guess the Louisiana could have easily been the feature too for the older horses, but love when the feature, you know, is the last race of the day. And speaking of that other graded stake on the card, the Louisiana, the got Mandaloon and Midnight Bourbon returning, Jay, as the three-year-olds now turned four, and last year's major players start to work their way into the handicap division picture.
Both those horses are, you know, prepping for races in the Middle East.
Yeah, exactly. International assignments, as I'm
there you go,
as I'm calling them. Jay, we're off and running for the road to the Derby, and of course the coverage in the Daily Racing Form, America's Turf Authority. Since
Marty McGee came on board, we're lost in the wilderness till then.
Have a great weekend. Our first Marty reference of the season. Jay, thanks a lot.
All right, Steve. Have a good weekend. Stay
Jay
warm.
Pridman. DRF Pridman, everybody. And as mentioned, Marcus Hirsch, his colleague, standing by in New Orleans. Marcus, good morning.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. And third extensive conversation about this card tomorrow.
Oh, you must be sick of it.
It's
we can
great.
Talk about something else if you want.
What do you got?
I'm open.
No.
I'm a treasure trove of superficial knowledge on many subjects.
That's true. You got the Winter Carnival that's just getting started. You've got...
Meant non-horse racing. You want to keep it in the horse racing realm.
Oh,
okay?
What else you got? What's your favorite? There you go. What's your favorite non-horse racing activity topic?
Probably Kierkegaard.
Ooh. Well,
just like his later years and everything he went through, you know, in Copenhagen and all that stuff.
Look at you. You're just amazing. I thought you might say cycling because you're a big bicyclist.
Yeah, but I'm not I just like to, like, bike around. I do like biking, but I'm not a cycling enthusiast. If Brad Cox's assistant, Ricky Giannini, he's the local cycling enthusiast. That guy's a madman out there.
How about,
but I don't
look at
like,
you.
I could never don like one of those cycling gear things, like, I just hate that stuff. I'm like a very low gear sort of person. And I have a fast bike, but I don't have a fancy bike.
Interesting.
I got a little track for the week that assistant trainer Hillary Pridham loaned to me, so that's been awesome. Although, like, if you step outside right now in New Orleans, you just freeze. It's when it's like 35, 40, wet and windy here. It's just brutal. But not too much rain, and just got the word that today's turf races are staying on.
Wow.
And since the rain's about done here, that means that you have to assume all tomorrow's turf races are staying on.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, in fact, we touched with Frank McGowey. We did talk a little bit about the circumstance with the turf course, and I referenced your suggestion the other day about how the turf course, in terms of style and where the winners were coming from, has been kind of all over the place this meet. And
well,
Frank, he also talked about the main track and some inside front end bias.
Persistent through the meet. Forward placement. I mean, that's racing generally. Let's not think that it's some insane thing, but if you don't have tactical speed, you've been in trouble. And on a lot of days, it's been really, really beneficial to be like the real inside speed. Now we've had some rain. The track wasn't really like that yesterday when it was wet. But I expect it to persist when it's dried out on Saturday. I'm going into it thinking that way. The turf was very front-end biased early in the meet. And then as soon as they started putting the rail out, it got more and more the opposite. All closers, outside closers, had a huge advantage. It was just like you had to have, that had to be a primary focus of your handicapping. And that lasted through this past Saturday's card. They were off the turf Sunday, back on Monday with the rail at the same place, and suddenly like all the turf winners were front runners, and the profile entirely changed. For what reason, I have no idea. The rail is still at 27 feet today, and we'll see what happens there. But they will be taking it down for tomorrow, and that's at the zero position. This is fresh ground that has not been used in a month at least or more. And the last few seasons when that has been the case, it has always been a course that has been kind to horses that make the lead and get to the rail, or manage to rally up the rail. I mean, you can't assume automatically that will happen again, but again, that's kind of my little framework for understanding or trying to understand going into this card how the races are going to be run.
Well, it came up repeatedly as we went through the card with Frank. I'm going to, rather than go through chronologically with you, Marcus, let's start with the feature and work our way back through the stakes, and then I'll get any individual opinions you might have about the particularly interesting maiden races and allowances.
I've talked to a lot of people. I have some knowledge.
Excellent. Let's start with this feature, and certainly this is a very nice and accomplished group heading into the LeCompte tomorrow.
I don't know how accomplished it is, to be honest. Well, you've got, the Gun Runner winner, but what's that really? But it's not like, it's about what you'd expect for this time of year.
Yeah, and it is January.
I'm, of course, in the Best Pal winner. I mean, Papa Cap is the accomplished horse, as I would look at it. It's a good group. I think it's one of the better LeCompte. I like several horses in here. Blue Kentucky is likely to be scratched, as I mentioned the other day. Of course, they have until race day to determine that. Catalano told me the other day he thought he was coming out. I think everyone else runs, should be a good pace. I think you got to start with figuring out whether you're going to support the favorite or not. Papa Cap, he's fine. He had a nice, busy 2-year-old year, came around well. His best race was his last race. He didn't get much time off. He started breezing pretty soon after the Breeders' Cup down in Florida. He's been here for a while. Gotten in some good company works. I saw him gallop the other day. He looks fit. He looks good. But I really like Epicenter to win this race. They got him. I just seen the line for the first time in this race. 9-5, 8-5. I wonder. Is it? Wow. That's a pretty bold line by Mike Diliberto. I would have thought the spread would be greater between those two, and I'd be hoping for a little better price in Epicenter. But Rosario, I guess he's got the big win in the Gunrunner. But this horse, it was kind of, you never know. That was a good maiden win. It wasn't great. You know, it wasn't epic where you just assume he's going to be a superstar. So it could go either way. Two turns first time, but he took it all in and improved. Just rated really comfortably. He's got plenty of speed, but it's rateable speed. I really was impressed with the way he came to the stretch. Now, granted, he's running against two horses that aren't finishing very well. Tejano Twist, they're not going to try running long anymore, or at least not longer than a one-turn mile, and that for the time being. So he wasn't really going to be a threat because he couldn't see it out. But I don't think it was strictly that flattered the horse. I think this is an improving horse. Talk about a gorgeous horse who's training this, like the little I've seen. I didn't see him work. I just saw him gallop. But he does look fabulous. He's really nice. I think Cyberknife is an impressive-looking horse, too. I understand why the connections are so high on him. He's done everything wrong, not a lot of things wrong. Still crossed the wire first twice. There was an allowance race earlier on the card, and they're, passing that in favor of this race. That's a sign of confidence. And Trafalgar, I think, has all kinds of upside for Al Stahl. I mean, Al just brings his horses along at his own pace and nice, steady, slow, doesn't ask too much. That was just a mere stepping stone last time. The horse is learning, figuring stuff out. He's a nice horse. He could get a decent setup. And even Call Me Midnight, I think, gets a little bit of a shout for me because his race behind Giant Game was nice at Keeneland, and his Churchill maiden win was pretty solid. And then Keith DeSormo thinks he ran him back too quick off 2 weeks rest. I don't think he's a winner here, even if he improves. Dallas Stewart's two horses are solid. Even the Lawbred has good numbers, good figures, Unified Report, and he's like visually encouraging again. Lesser competition, although the horse he beat last time, Braun and Brow, was pretty nice. Surfer Dude's going to the lead from the rail. Could stay on a little better than last time, but I just don't see him like getting away with an easy lead. And there's the field. I mean, I'm trying to beat Papa Cat, but it looks like I'm trying to beat it with a horse that's going to be a short price too.
It feels like it, that everybody's identifying the top pair. Frank had kind of an encouraging view of Trafalgar here, which intrigued me.
I definitely give him a shout. I'm not sure he's going to be quite up to winning, but he could. He could take a nice step forward. I mean, what's that horse done wrong? If you watch his debut at Chittoga, he had got quite a bit of education in that race, breaking from the rail, in traffic all the time, had to stop and start a little, and then ran on quite nicely behind a horse who was super and ready first time out, and it's a good horse, Classic Causeway. That was a nice race, and this horse, Brigadier General, he's in, I want to say, Sunday for Dallas Stewart. He's okay. Now, granted, that maiden win, he had a beautiful setup, stayed out in the clear, fast pace to chase, but I thought he did it quite nicely, and in his last race, he won by a head, but this horse completely idled after he hit the front. It was a slow pace. He got a perfect trip, made the lead, lost focus. And then Naval Aviator, Brad Cox horse, who he's got some ability. He looked like he was just going to blow right by him at the 16th pole. And as soon as he came up along Trafalgar, his response was immediate. He reengaged and just beat the horse to the wire. Very good sign, I think, for a young and progressive colt to show that kind of fight and understanding and ability, really.
Well, and I just went to the pages of America's Turf Authority. You not only picked Epicenter, you made him the day's best bet.
Oh, boy. It's a lot of pressure. I hope the horse looks for it.
Epicenter, Cyberknife, Papa Cap for you. But
I had a hard time leaving Trafalgar out. For a while, I even toyed taking him on top because I do respect his win chances. But, I didn't get four picks, so there you go.
It is a good LeCompte, and the lead-in, Marcus, as we move backwards, that features Mandaloon and Midnight Bourbon is a great way for the handicap division in the region to get going.
Yeah, except these horses are going to flee the region after this race. It's interestingly, the Mineshaft next month, which is more money and generally more important race, will be a worse race than the Louisiana, because these two, if all goes well, according to plan, they'll be headed to the Saudi Cup. Warrant is coming back, too, for Cox. Mandaloon stablemate, if you look at some numbers, he ran fast at the end of last year. I suppose if he wanted, well, Chess Chief is out. I think people probably know that, right?
That's yes.
A known scratch. Pirate Punch, 50-50 to run. I don't think he can win, but he's a pace factor. We'll see if he ends up running or not. I hadn't talked to Grant Forster yesterday. I did talk to him today. I did talk to him yesterday, and it was still up in the air. We'll see what happens with him. Mandaloon is he's a fit horse, but he's probably going to be a little ring rusty. It's a long break, and you sure obviously wouldn't they wouldn't want him to like have some whopper of a comeback race with a $20 million purse around the corner. Midnight Bourbon, I think, is on a little bit better pattern to more comfortably run a winning race without overexerting. If that makes any sense, because he ran, he went through the end of the year, he ran the Clark, he came down here, kept going. So I'd give him a little bit of advantage there. I mean, obviously, this horse has not won since the LeCompte. He's a year between wins, and I don't know if that's just coincidence. Obviously, he ran against the cream of the crop and ran competitively. His drivers was excellent. I thought this Pennsylvania Derby was very good. I'm a big fan of the horse. The change is blinkers. He's running him in blinkers for the first time. He said trying to get a little bit more out of him in the last part of the race. I took him to win over Mandaloon. If he wanted to go King Warrant, I think would be the other horse. But it would be a little surprising that if one of the big two didn't win this race to me.
Feel the same way, although I had an interest, and I talked up in talking to Chad Schexnader yesterday and again with Frank. Warrant is the kind of horse, Marcus, that I'd love to track and follow, that seemed to be getting better as the year went on as a sophomore, and with maturity could very well shoulder his way into the level, the next level, as it were, with horses like Midnight Bourbon and Mandaloon.
Right.
He's got something to make up.
He could be progressive. He won't be 12-1.
No.
They like him. He's doing well. I think he's worked several times with that Brazilian mare that they have in the Marie Kranz earlier on the card. I'm really looking forward to this race. I want to see what these two horses, who were among the best three-year-olds of 2021, have to offer for 2022.
The Colonel Bradley, a nice big field, and kind of a group of horses that have smatterings of success, and it feels like this thing could. Could go a lot of ways if it doesn't go in the direction of two Emmys.
Well, yeah, I mean, two Emmys is the one with the resume. I will say I just talked to Joe Sharp recently, a little while ago, and Logical Myth is quite likely to be scratched. I know any other scratches here. Excess Magic runs and talk to Maker. Yeah, I don't know of any other scratches, but I don't see why. It seems like these horses will run, probably. Hugh Robertson's one of my favorite people in horse racing, and he's an absolute master at getting horses on the cheap that are successful. Like, this horse costs $4,500, two Emmys. And, I mean, he's really good. He's really good. Colonel Liam was at the peak of his powers, and Colonel Liam is a formidable horse, and two Emmys gave him a good run in the Muniz last year. I know he's six, but these English channels, you know, like him, he weighs, Hugh says he weighs like 900-950 pounds. He's just he's a skinny. A lot of the English channels are narrow-made horses, and those are the kind of horses where, you know, you got to give them time, and they're long-distance grass horses for the most part. But it's just been amazing seeing over the last couple years the emergence of these older English channel horses that are really good. And I think he'll be as good this year as he was last year. His win over domestic spending, yeah, he got an easy lead, but, I mean, he still beat what was the best turf horse in America that day. And I thought his Sycamore was excellent, too. He just had to be used a little bit from the 11 hole to get over, and Spooky Channel got a dream trip on the rail, came out, and it's just like a perfect run. So he ended the year in good form. He is a horse who has done his best on the lead, but he can come from off it, and I do think that going to be an important consideration in a race with what I think is a lot of pace. I don't know that Two Emmys is going to make the lead, and I don't know exactly what kind of trip he's going to get. I'll be happy to see him win, but I took a little shot trying to beat him with a couple horses.
And? They are?
Oh, well, I have Cavalry Charge on top. This horse completely turned around after he switched him to turf. I was talking to Dallas Stewart about him the other day, and he said he thought when he first trained on him, he could be a Derby horse. He showed a lot of ability from the start. But he has done a little wrong. He threw in a clunker at Saratoga, but otherwise he's like moving forward all the time. Kentucky Ghost, whom he beat at Keeneland, making an early move, kind of held on, but Kentucky Ghost is a nice horse. This horse's numbers stack up well in this race. He's got speed to get over to the rail, and if not lead, then sit right behind from post three with an ace Fairgrounds jockey, Brian Hernandez Jr., on him. He will be a price. He gets a few pounds from a few of these horses, and I think he could run a big race. He had him in the Buddy Diliberto Memorial on December 26th, and he just got a little sick. He had the scratch, but if you look at his work pattern, you know, he was right back to it soon after that, and he's trained really well. And the other one that really caught my eye was Own Agenda, another horse who should be a good price. I don't think he's going to get bet down at all. This horse is trained really well, too, and you know, it depends on what speed figures you look at. His buyers are on the light side, but I know other rating system like him more, and he just won really nicely last time before the turf got too outside closer by, so I don't think the course held him along as much that might have some. He has tactical pace as well. He's another horse who could get like into second flight and get over into a good trip. He's got very limited turf form, but this is a turf horse through and through. He's only run three times on grass. I know he had the long layoff, but that just means he's likely raced. He's a 7-year-old, believe it or not, with upside on the day, in my opinion.
Frank McGoey also, I think I've got three check marks now next to Own Agenda. So
that's too much. I'm retracting.
I agreed with a few of the takes. Yeah, Frank did like Own Agenda as well, but I thought Marnix Glen had a feel in here,
I could see it. My issue with him is I think he's an outside closer, and I'm worried he's going to be running against the grain of the course. Now that may be overthinking things. I know he has popped races periodically. He's one of those horses. He needs everything to go his way, and he's not going to do it every time, but. He's sneaky.
Yeah, it's maker does always. You need to look 2-3 times at the makers. All right, let's go to the fillies. And you wrote about the topic. In fact, this came up with Chad yesterday too. A six pack in this Silver Bullet day, but the waters are going to get deep when we reconvene for the Rachel Alexandra next month.
Not as deep as they might have been. The only one I know for sure that pointed that way is Hidden Connection. I don't think Echo Zulu is going to be ready in time. She hasn't worked yet.
Wow.
And Tarabi, I'm going to report in the Sunday print edition of the form. Tarabi worked once here and then had a little issue. She's back in Kentucky. It's nothing major. She'll be 30 days and then back to training, but she won't be in the Rachel Alexandra, and probably there's little chance she could be a Kentucky Oaks horse at this point. So we've had some attrition here. And this race is just confounding to me. I really like, okay, I mean, my hot take is that Miss Chamida and Candy Rate can't win. After that, I mean, I don't really know who's going to go. I mean, Lacrette has a good time form U.S. early pace number that like suggests she's going to open
yes.
a clear lead. And she's a really, really hard filly to read because her first race was slow, or I wouldn't say slow, moderate on all the numbers that I've seen. But, you know, Rosario looked under his arm at the 16th pole, and then just there was no one there, and he just eased across the wire. And then she galloped out really nice. You know, it's Clarier's half-sister. She's got a great pedigree. They wanted to run her in an allowance race that didn't fill. I mean, I don't want to make too much of that, but I didn't really know what to do with her. I didn't know what to do with anyone in this race. I think I took Verna Breezy on top in the end because I thought she'd be the best price of all these horses. Not the other ones. All four of these horses could win. Fanny and Freddie, you could easily see her winning. Sweetest Pie for Pletcher, I could easily see her winning. I think the Tempted was pretty decent. I mean, the same kind of horses ran against each other. In the Demoiselle, but they validated the form. I think that horse Nest, who won, is okay. Gerrymander was coming out of the Frisette behind Echo Zulu. So she is the best. She comes out of the best race as far as company lines, and she should like two turns, but she's nothing like spectacular. I mean, I could see her improving. But this Verna Breezy horse, the field she beat, excuse me, the place horse did not run back. The third and the fourth ran back in a maiden race last weekend. No good. Didn't run it. Not competitive at all, which kind of validated the sense that I had of the race going in and that it was soft. But on the other hand, I mean, they crawled on the lead, and she rallied really powerfully. Maybe that helped her. Maybe the slower pace helped her in some way. But I really liked the move she made. I liked the way she sustained her run, and she had a useful race at a one-turn mile for South. Definitely seems like a true route horse. Could go either way with her. I mean, she's had enough time that she shouldn't regress. She could be on a little bit of an improvement pattern, and as probably the longest choice of those four on value is how I landed her on top. But I don't have no strong opinion in this race, obviously.
Yeah, I that echoes really as well what Frank had to say. I mean, the one thing that I sensed was that Lacrit and Joelle will be up on top.
I guess so, but I mean, Fanny and Freddie showed a lot more speed last time, and she's on the rail. I think she's sharp for this. I mean, they might. I don't think Colby Hernandez, who's an aggressive rider, is going to give away a lot.
Well,
I could see, and the other horse has only had the one race. This horse is like got a seasoning edge. I mean, if you were the connections, wouldn't you maybe want to take the fight to her and just think that you were you're going to be the stronger horse on the day?
You may well, and knowing as well as both Hernandez's do, how keeping tabs on how the track plays,
exactly.
They may just want to hold that at the very least hold position down inside and keep Lacrette honest.
That's how I see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, I'm going to put this up right now on Twitter because as I went through these discussions the last 2 days, I started to highlight Rosario's mounts. Joelle is riding in all but, I think, two races and in all but one for Steve Asmussen. It's a heady list of mounts for Joelle.
Asmussen. Jackie's Warrior mount.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's got Epicenter, Midnight Bourbon, Halo again in the Bradley, Lacrette, here. The one non-Asmussen mount is Janelle Monáe, which we'll talk about now, actually, in the
France.
Yes. This is another fun race, and we had abscond mentions so far. What are you doing in here, and what is Sharp doing about Summer in Saratoga?
Okay, well, Summer in Saratoga is going to be scratched to run in the Pegasus Philly and Mare Turf.
That's official.
And, well, it's not official because there's no scratches yet, but the trainer just told me that's what's going to happen. But it's from the trainer. So, and also, he's scratching his other horse, who was going to be, I thought, possibly competitive, Catch a Bid. She's going to run at Houston. So they're both out. Brett Calhoun called me back right after you called me. I was asked, because he wasn't sure he was going to run Lovely Ride. So I will put that on Twitter as soon as I find out. She could come out, too. It's all going to end up making Abscond a really short favorite. I mean, she really should just win the race at this point. Unless Janelle Monáe is really good, that's the only horse. And she's with the others horse. She's with the others out. She's not going to be any price either. Now she's an interesting horse. I watched her three, grade one win in Brazil. And I also tried to do a little research on the competition to see what she was beating. Now, that's gotten me in trouble before, trying to do form assessments from the horses coming to North America from South America and seeing that they hadn't beat very many horses of seemingly like great ability. But that's the case with her, as far as I can tell. She didn't beat especially good horses. I mean, a Brazilian racing expert can feel free to correct me on that. She did win at a mile, and the ground was heavy that day. You could see it was the struggle for the horses to pick up, and that might not have been her, but she struck me as being having a better rhythm in the longer races, mile, quarter, mile and a half. I don't know what the paces were like in there. She showed tactical speed, although in the last race she had a rabbit and she was well behind. Before putting in a bid. I believe this horse was with Chad Brown initially upon coming to North America and then wound up with Cox, who has never had a South American horse before. But they seem to like the horse and know she's had some good works. But I just don't think with Rosario and the scratches, you're not really going to get rewarded for taking on Abscond. Now, Abscond is a little bit like Midnight Bourbon. She has not won since she took the Natalma in 2019, a grade one winner. Is that who she is? Is she's not willing to get the job done? I don't really know. I don't see her hanging so much as just being, I mean, she has got easily the best form lines in this race. She's run against a lot of really good horses and run competitively. She doesn't really, like, the Just a Game was not good, but all her other races, she's run, you know, really well. She's got the rail, which is an advantage, and she's just her work pattern looks great. And the trainer said she's done extremely well prepping for this. So she's going to be a price, but I don't have anyone that I want to try to beat her with.
Hmm. Yep. You did include Janelle Monáe among the, and actually she moves up with the scratch of Summer in Saratoga in your pecking order. So, all right. We'll take that for what it's worth. Instead of talking about the ninth, Marcus, let's slip in the Kenner, which is pretty straightforward as turf sprints go. And every turf sprint from New Orleans to Louisville starts with Michelle Lovell.
He's going to be formidable. I saw him at the barn the other day. He does not look like a horse who has campaigned as heavily as he did, seven-time stakes winner in 2021. He's going to be very tough, going to be a short price. I know that Catalano was high on Manny Wah, who did beat Just Might in this race last year. And he's a nice horse, ran a good race, first time back from a long layoff, and has trained well since. I mean, I'm not... It could happen. That's the only one I could see winning, unless things just get chaotic. There's Rosario on Cohen, who I gave a little love to because, I mean, I'm the straight course Alquaz, and I'm throwing that one out. His last real American Turf sprint was a fine second behind the great Golden Powell on the Breeders' Cup. He's going to enjoy getting back to turf, and he's got an inside post. He could outrun his odds a little bit, but, I mean, just might is so – he's so formidable right now. Maybe, you know, he'll take a step back at some point. Maybe this is when it happens, but I don't really see it.
No, I'm not gonna disagree. The one notable wrinkle, I suppose, is the invasion of Sir Alfred James.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it.
You're not convinced.
No, I don't think he's a grass horse for one thing, but we'll see. I mean, he popped to the lead in the synthetic last time. Ran one like the best race of his life. He's coming back in 3 weeks and shipping and switching surfaces. I just can't see it. But I'm wrong like most of the time. That's in the nature of the game.
Well, there's the stakes lineup for a terrific LeCompte card, but it is only a part, Marcus, of what makes this day, I think, a tough to turn away from. A series of maiden races and then a couple of allowances, particularly the three-year-old allowance that is going to bring back Underhill's Tab, the Fletch namesake.
Some
thoughts?
It's really like pretty much almost all of the best three-year-olds around here are running on this day. This is like the Churchill card. This is a change. This is more of these races than before, and they've assembled. They've rounded everybody up. I mean, we haven't had these races recently. They haven't been appearing on this card because they're saved for this card.
Well, give us some of the highlights. You said that you've made the rounds of the backstretch. Jump around to what you think are the most interesting spots, the rest of the card.
Race two, I don't have any strong opinions. That's not a very good race. Well, maybe it will be. I mean, they're young, but whatever. The allowance race is interesting. The third, but I don't have any like deep insight. I mean, Underhill's Tab. He should win if he stretches out. I think he's a nice horse. I really like him. And Al Stahl said he's really smart and turns off, relaxes. So if he makes a lead and. Maybe he won't make the lead. Maybe Stellar Tap will go with him. Maybe Sandals will go with him. But I picked Underhill's Tab. Kevin Folly is this horse that keeps teasing, and I was tempted by him. It looks like there's more there, but he can't quite get to it. Blinkers, Lasix, he's a horse that could pop up. There could be a fast pace in this race, and we'll see. But whoever wins is probably going to be in the Risen Star or something like that.
Exactly. Maybe the top two even.
We'll skip this turf race, and let's see. Another route race in the fifth. I don't have a ton of stuff here. The Asmussen horses on the outside, Ice Pass and Fenwick. I kind of think Fenwick is what you see, what you get, and that Ice Blast, I mean, they're starting him off going long. He's not some superstar, as the sense that I get. I've not seen him train. Here's a horse in the sixth, this turf race. Don't throw out Co-Conspirator. Has some ability and has some speed. And that's not a great race. So a horse, like a first-time starter with some talent, could be worth paying attention to there. The seventh, the sprint, Rather Be Lucky. On the rail, a very fast horse. If she breaks cleanly, she'll have a chance. But I think that Nonviolence for Calhoun, that has not just the Bullet Works, which you can't just assume are good works, but is a good horse. He said that she's been very impressive in company. She doesn't work that great by herself, but in company she really gets. And it's not just the bullets. I mean, the impression matches the way she's worked has been as encouraging as the times that we see in the forum itself. Cherie DeVoe, like Sir Horse Mercy Warren, but said she might need a race. Bomb Diggity is, and I thought he was going to be competitive, part of an entry for Assassin and Stone Street, but he's in another. He was re-entered somewhere. I'm not even sure he runs. Okay, and then the ninth is full of these horses. Although you got horses coming back in a Sunday race instead that re-entered. $1.5 million Vinco for Stewart, has speed, has gate speed. It looks like he's said he's a beautiful training horse and just taken a while to get into the races. He's not saying he's going to win for sure first time out, but I mean, look at Dallas's first start percentage out of nowhere, up to 23%, never used to win with firsters.
Right.
This horse is ready, and you know, even though he might turn out to be a route horse, he could be capable sprinting. Asmussen could be okay here. The Violence Ferociously could be. I'm not waiting to bet on him. And I mean, Hugh Robertson likes his horse. He bred himself at Lovable List. Her first foal, she had a good run before she got hurt. She ran well over this track several years ago.
She was fast,
yeah.
Marcus.
Yes, she was. This is going to be a fast horse, too. He wanted to run the horse. He's not excited about running against these million-dollar horses, let me put it this way. But I think the horse will have some. He's not going to be sent, but he probably will show some speed. And that's it.
Well, you know, you mentioned the re-entries, both Strong Quality and Ferocity. The one and the two, both are re-entered for Sunday, which would mean potentially that Zosos and Stayed In for Half, which just by a name alone is an interesting horse. The Robeson's
Zosos is in Sunday, too. Zosos is in Sunday, too.
Oh, and so is Stayed In for Half. So the two of them could either run or wait for what is the rule? Because in New York,
no,
you re-enter, you run. You have to run Sunday. All right.
I'm pretty sure that's the case. I think those horses will all be running Sunday.
Interesting. All right. Well, that means, for instance, then you can assume that a horse like I'm Your Captain goes from the 11 hole to the 9. I'm so glad you talked about I'm Your Captain, because I brought him up yesterday, and he's an Illinois bred. He could have easily been left in Chicago to run at Hawthorne against restricted company. And the fact that Hugh Robertson brings him down here, you know, $58,000 maiden purses at Fairgrounds, means he likes this horse and thinks this horse has got talent.
He likes him, but I don't know. I think he's going to turn out to be fine, but we'll see what happens. I like Hugh with first-time starters. I just don't know if it's a spot for him. But he's 20-1 on the line, and he's going to be a big price. So, I mean, you have at it.
Exactly. Well, have at this whole tremendous card. Marcus will be a font of information. Certainly today, and racing, nice race card today, and then the big card tomorrow. Marcus, this was tremendous. Enjoy, and I can't wait to do this in person, like we've done several times at Fairgrounds, and I'll, you know, be there with you at Risen Star Week.
Well, I look forward to it, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. DRF Hirsch, everybody. Marcus pedaling back out, and he'll probably pedal over to Loise's for lunch later as well.
Oh, so. Don't be ridiculous. Early deadlines kill any sort of lunch plan.
You got to get Irwin on board with this. Come on.
Back in the day when we had 7 o'clock deadlines, sure, lunch was fine. Now,
no lunch. No lunch for the weary. All right. Marcus, thank you, buddy.
All right. Take care.
We'll take a break here, I think, Casey, or do you have Hammer? Your call. You tell me. We got 45 minutes, and we've got 4 guests. Hammer doesn't have a lot. No Hammer yet, so you want to take that break? Let's take the break. Take the break, and we'll come right back. We've got, let's do that. We'll take the break, and we'll have a lightning round between Shu and Popo and Shapiro and Hammer. Back after this.
the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic